So we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that in this message, actually the last message that Brother Branham is preaching on the field, just before it all winds down with communion with a little group there in Tucson, we ask you to help us to recall in our minds what has been previously said concerning leadership, because we know that this will be the conclusion of it all, and realizing then that as he's leaving the scene, there will be a leadership that he has pointed us to that is going to take us into the millennium, which we know he said was the pillar of fire leading us there. So help us to understand that, Lord, all through the message. He has this one understanding in mind, that you, Lord, the one of that Exodus of which we are looking at when Moses was there in the pillar of fire, and then Moses taken off the scene and Joshua leading him, and our Lord Joshua is the Holy Spirit, that we realize we have been commended to you, Lord, and let us understand that with all of our hearts, that it is great one himself, God himself, Elohim, in our midst, leading us on, having revealed his word. May we be obedient lambs and following and hearing the voice of this shepherd and going on in understanding and obeying, being therefore fully prepared, made really ready. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 11 of leadership, and last Sunday we were studying paragraphs 146 to 148. We'll, of course, be back to that. Based on Brother Branham's adamant exhortation that even as the rich young ruler was confronted by the living Holy Spirit God, Jehovah Elohim in flesh. Now that's quite a mouthful, but the fact of the matter is the one in flesh was living Holy Spirit God, Jehovah Elohim, Rima Logos, you name it what you want, sovereign, in flesh. And of course the flesh was the flesh of his only begotten Son, so that one was dwelling in the other. And one could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father dwelleth in me. Now that's not an example or an illustration or an analogy or something, some figure of speech, it's an actual reality. People would say, well, that's a split personality. We've got somebody here that says he's possessed. Well, what are you going to do about it? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. The words that I speak are not mine, but my Father's which dwelleth in me, and the works that I do are not mine, but the Father's that dwell in me. I only say what he tells me to say. What I hear from him, I only do what he shows me to do. Brother Branham expressed that as by visions. And believe me, Jesus did not pray to himself. He prayed to the Father. It's a mystery, but it's not all that mysterious. What God did. So, all right. Brother Branham's adamant exhortation that even as a rich young ruler was confronted by the living Holy Spirit God, Jehovah Elohim, the Rima Logos God in flesh. So now today, we are confronted by that same one, that same person, here in a pillar of fire, having dropped the flesh and gone back to the pillar of fire, operating in and through the prophet Elijah. Now, Brother Branham tells us Elijah this hour is not man, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, God. Now notice what he says, Lord Jesus Christ, God. Well, in case you're confused, you just have to stay confused. The fact of the matter is, there are many appellations, many names, but remember the Son said, I came in my Father's name. So if you have Jesus Father and Jesus Son, what are you going to do? Try to make him one like Brother Branham said, and he's not one like your finger, then why try to make him one like your finger? That's Jesus only. That's a travesty against the true Word of God. And that one in our midst is not the author or creator of eternal life, but he himself, the person, Holy Spirit, is eternal life and the provider or progenitor or source or birther of it. Did you and I get that portion? Now, Brother Branham was trying to show that congregation that night how that headship was here according to Ephesians 4:15-16, and that headship came through and up through Luther, Wesley, the Pentecostals, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and restoration of gifts to the Holy Spirit himself, as was promised in Ephesians 1:17, which would bring us, by making us ready, right into the rapture and wedding supper. So, all right, let's go back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And remember, it's Ephesians all over again. And the verses I read, I could read the rest, but I don't want to. We're to come to a place that henceforth we be no more children. Now remember, Paul could not teach and give the truth of Melchizedek because they were immature children that wanted milk. They couldn't handle the truth. So when the seals are open, you find that at the end time of maturity, the people cannot handle the understanding of Melchizedek as brought forth by Brother Branham. So he said, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Now the tossing to and fro started in the Ephesian age. The seed of discrepancy, as Brother Branham said, was already in the church at that time. And of course we know who sowed that seed and how it came into the church. Paul explains that in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And carried about with every wind of doctrine, which means that every doctrine is like a wind that moves upon the field of wheat and tares. So every wind comes and it causes a ripple, causes people to sit up and maybe take notice, to take stock again, to reassess. Well, the age of reassessment is over. The age of the ripple effect is gone. Either your minds have been thoroughly impregnated by the word of the hour through the Holy Spirit, vindicated words, so there is no room and there's no way another germ or seed can get in your brain, into your mind, into your soul, back into your life. You become rigid. You become as stony as the stone from whence you are cut. Remember, Jesus, in the hour of his temptation, simply used the word that he had, that he was to manifest in flesh and was manifesting. First of all, he's manifesting his own word, which he was that son. Secondly, God himself was manifesting through him, giving him that witness. And he stood there and he could not be tempted and tried by any other word than the word which he was and he had for those who were a part of him. Now, if you're a part of Christ, you've got to be a part of God. I mean, it's just that simple. Because everything was in God to begin with. So now they're standing right there and there's no wind, no ripple effect. Now, Wednesday night, Brother Gregory brought us a very stirring message on this rippling wind that's in the Branhamites. And it seems that these preachers don't want anybody to take a stand, to be confrontational, or you're the devil. Kind old priest syndrome. I'm not interested in going to hell. I would sooner go to hell, or heaven rather, as mean old Lee Vale than go to hell as that sweet priest. Now you can take your pick. I'm not trying to make you mean. Nobody here can say I am mean. I'm adamant. And though I say I'm trying to give you a mind fix, Stabilize your mind once and for all. You know I have not attempted to preach my mind or voice any idea upon you which I have myself, but it is always going to the prophet vindicated into the Bible. In fact, I am seeking. And if I am desperately seeking, why should I pretend to have arrived? But my seeking concerning what the typhoist is, what the vindication is, what the truth is over. It is in these books which come from this book. So there's a big difference. Now, let's keep reading. By the sleight of men. The word sleight is like sleight of hand. The hand is faster than the eye. In other words, they shuffle the cards so fast and everything from Brother Branham's message that you're left swimming. The best a dead man's float. I'm not interested. I've given you principles that Brother Branham laid down, such as Alpha and Omega, the two vines, which is the parallelism of Scripture, which is blessing and cursing, and other principles which, when you use, given by the master prophet William Branham, who was categorically classed with Moses and Paul, making complete three, you are now in a position where the sleight of men, nothing you see will deceive you. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. They have one purpose, to deceive you. That's what the kind old priest was. That's what this ecumenical spirit is. You say, Brother Vail, I can't believe it. You don't believe the Bible that says they're deceived and deceiving. They themselves are deceived and therefore deceiving. I want to take you to their camp. There isn't any camp anymore. Everything is outside the camp. But holding the truth in love. Now remember, love is the Holy Ghost. You'll find other scripture concerning that too if you look through the Bible. May grow up not into him, but unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So now, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, and now you must come up to the Holy Ghost. Now watch. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. So it tells you, the whole body which came down from him must now come to the place through a resurrection and a perfecting at the end time, where there is no word added or taken from, because the womb of the mind has been completely sealed up. And the bride is now ready for the first time in history to be presented to Christ, to whom she is espoused. And this is all by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's here in the form of a pillar of fire, to raise the dead, to change us, and to take us up to the wedding supper, wherein he incarnates himself in a reincarnation in that body which is called the Lamb. And we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now it says here, from whom the whole body joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. And Brother Branham thoroughly explained how that works. That the bride went into the ground. Like Christ, she went into the dark ages and died, and she begins to come forth as that bride tree, where the life was simply in the roots. And remember, he is the root of David. He's the root. And another branch has to come forth. So it started to come forth. A measure in the first part was to Luther. A measure in the second part was to Wesley. Now, what was the measure of? It had to be the measure of the Word. Because the Word had to come back, because there's where the bride went off. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit wasn't baptizing people. The bride of Christ was being built up, but the trouble was it was the Word. And you can see here's where we have to get back is to the unshakable Word, the typos. So every part, Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals had theirs. Now, the last part, and there aren't any more parts. That's why Paul said in the 13th of 1 Corinthians, when that which is perfect is come, that's the time you don't see through a glass darkly, but face to face. Face to face with whom? The same one with him that Moses was face to face, Paul was face to face, and now we are face to face, and there's the picture. Remember, nobody but Paul was face to face. And yet he said, if you've been taught by Christ, to have been taught by Paul was to have been taught by Christ, the Holy Ghost. To have been taught by William Branham is to be taught by the Holy Ghost. And people say, but Brother Bale, I heard from God. You're liars. You are barefaced. God have pity on your guilty souls. And how you would dare, in the face of vindicated scripture, I heard from God. Like you had a private interview, and you've got something special. This woman wrote a big, long letter to a man in Sweden. Oh boy, she condemned me, which is her privilege. I'm glad she did. Because if she'd have loved me, something had to be wrong. Her Brother Branham couldn't stand her. Why should I? Every time he saw her, he ran. He said, who was it? I'm not here to tell you. Sister Branham's dead, so that takes care of that. So she writes this big, long letter. And she tells how that God showed her about foot washing. I don't care two bits what she thought God showed her. She's the same person who said, now, my brother, you had better get yourself a television so you can see Jimmy Swaggart, because he's the next to Brother Branham. A deviant? I'm trying to think of the words. A sexually deviant pervert? I'd expect something a little better than that to be representative. A liar and a thief. My stomach turns just to think of that. Every measure. And the last measure brings perfection, which means you can't put a scratch on it. It's like I said, for the first time we are capable of making a perfect sphere, and it can be made in a space shuttle. The first time. Unless they had a space shuttle back in the days of Noah. This is absolutely unheard of, perfection. Now, if you could bring that ball bearing or that bowling ball, whatever it is, back there, and you had one teeny hair on it as part of it, it's no longer perfect. And if you scratch infinitesimally almost the shellac or the urethane, whatever you're putting on it, and it's not complete. That's the perfection we have in this Word, whether people believe it or not. And this is what makes the prepared people ready. This is how Brother Branham dressed the bride with the sword, which is the Word of God, not this Word of God that people have mutilated, but the Word of God in here. It has been perfectly vindicated as the word of this hour, because a lot of this is not our hour. Even as Paul said, there's coming a day when you when you lay aside the principles of God having become flesh. You lay it aside. I'll read it here. Then we get back where I'm at. It's in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. We all know where it's at. And he says, therefore, laying aside the principles of the Logos of Christ, Christ having become in, God having become in human flesh, let us go on to perfection. What perfection? The last church age. when perfect has come. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Don't go back to Luther, of faith toward God. Don't go back to Wesley. Don't go back to the Pentecostals. Don't go back to the doctrines of resurrection of the dead and all these things that were sort of moot lying there. They weren't clear and perfect, but we've gone on to perfection. And Paul says we're good if God permits, and God would not permit. He only permitted now. Show me one place where Paul said he was able to open the seven seals. Come on, show me. Now show me one place in Brother Branham's sermons where Brother Branham categorically said the seven seals aren't open. He said it wasn't open to the public. Well, I got news to you. Nothing was open to the public. Brother Branham categorically said the seven seals, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Figure that one out. If that's not open, tell me. Why did he tell all about it? Why did he identify Elohim coming down from chapter 5? The same one in chapter 4 and verse 1, 5, 1. Comes down as Revelation 10, 1. And William Branham standing there, he identified himself. Well, what he did, you see, Brother Bale, he just really closed the second seal by saying those things. Yeah. And what they told Brother Gregory, he said, where is the Lamb? One said, well, he's gone back to dust. You have an attorney who's lying in the graveyard dust, and you go to the judge and you say, my attorney is gone to dust, but I have this attorney. The judge would wave for the bailiff and the sheriff. Take him away. Take him away. You're going to tell me that Jesus, my mediator, my intercessor, is gone to dust? Or is simply lying upon the mercy seat? But he said at the end time I could vomit them up. Maybe this is a Roman vomitorium, big feast he's in here, and you lie and eat so much it gets on tickle your throat until you vomit. He's lying on the mercy seat like a Roman. Old Nero with hummingbird's tongues and delicacies. I'm going to play it right to the end. They're the ones that made the statement. I never made the statement. I can tell you flat where he is. He's on his father's throne. What's he doing? Everything he ever did. Don't you know he's got to still mediate to get the 144,000 in? Wouldn't it be nice to have one turn to dust to get 144,000 in? The poor Jews are sunk. My God, they got it so bad now. Now they're not a Jew going to come in. You wonder why I get sarcastic and virtually really dirty in my preaching? It's because maybe just one of you might think foolishly. You better be exposed now before the white light of God shines upon us all. Because it will. Now listen. Perfection, what's he talking about? When God himself comes to take over. And I'm going to tell you something. God himself has come to take over. And it wasn't a beautiful, pure bride so wonderful, he just couldn't wait to get to her. He had to come down and do something for her, which was dress her because she's wretched and miserable and blind and literally naked. The prepared one was not ready. So, the same one that came down in Eden, the started redemption, came down now to finish it. Isn't that logical? Well, it doesn't have to be logical. It's absolutely scriptural. Now, it says here, every joint supplying. Every joint. What's the last joint? I think it's your neck. Right? Are any joints passed here? Any joints here? Who studied physiology? My merciful heaven, there must be somebody here. Robert, you studied physiology. Any joints up here? I don't need some, maybe, what is it, jaw joint maybe? Well, that's taken care of, that's head, before you get here. On any joint past the neck that isn't in the head. Right? I don't know anything. Maybe you could phone a doctor and find out. I don't know. Phone Doc Cash. Phone downtown. But I just don't have any choice. Past minute, it doesn't go into the head. Because you see, when you go to head, you're not talking body. You're talking what the body came from. Now the jaw and the tongue, it all belongs to the head. Now, the edifying must come to that place by the Holy Ghost. Now, I know everybody wants to talk about love, but you forget one thing. In the stature of perfect man, there are 8 components, not 7. The 7th in the 7th age is what? Brotherly kindness, right? And brotherly kindness is stickiness where you got fish hooks on your elbow. Now, they wonder why there's an old Evail cannot tolerate this stuff because he got fish hooks on his elbow when it comes to this word. And I'm not going to be goody-goody two-shoes, the candy kid with gumdrop feet. That's not me. And it's all full of honey. I've got news for you. I'm part of the 7th age, and I'm sticky. Not stinky, sticky. Sticky. Now, ask you a question. What are you? All you nice people. Shall I eyeball each one of you? Fap, I've been around you. You know you're trying to kid me how nice you are. You're sticky. Prickly. And yet, if somebody needs help, you have compassion, which is doing the will of God, which is pull the ox out of the ditch. Even feed your enemy. You might be hotter than a red-hot rivet concerning everything that person or persons has done, but when it comes right down to it, you wouldn't harm them. You back away. Sticky. So we're talking about God, who is love, who has come down here, and he's that person. Now, what is that person? That person is Ephesians 1 and 17 that Paul speaks of. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now, the only God we know is the Father of Jesus Christ. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, himself. Now only God can declare himself, because there's nobody else can declare God. How can you declare a God whom you cannot see? Because he makes himself manifest somehow, you're in luck, out of luck. So therefore God himself is doing this, and it proves it, because when he's finished doing what he's doing to a bride, his exceeding greatness of power when he raised Christ from the dead is going to hit the dead in the ground and the bride living, bring the dead out of the ground, put him right here. The bride here is changed. That's by the voice. The next thing is the trumpet that takes us up. So that's what Brother Branham is telling him. Turn yourself over to that leadership. Our leader, our Joshua, is the Holy Spirit himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. That means Elohim, God himself. Now, and by mentioning the Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostals as example of all religious organizations, he showed that now there was absolutely no means whereby one can come into a relationship with God for worship and service except by a prophet, where God literally fulfills his own word by his own anointing upon that prophet, so once again it is known. I am not doing the works, but my Father is doing the works through me. That's not hard to understand when every Pentecostal, and I suppose almost every other so-called Protestant and even Catholic, or those that call themselves Christians, don't have any problem identifying themselves with God. Anybody can do that, but the thing is, can you identify with the Word? Because without word identification, you're just kidding yourself, you're identifying with God. We're right back in the old days. over 30 years ago when Sister Riley, I'm mentioning her name because she's dead now. She's a lovely, sweet lady, but she felt she had her mission to help preachers, and she ran around telling them about the anointing of gifts and things. And she said, Brother Vail, the big trouble is we should center on Jesus Christ. It's that word that's causing all the trouble. Forget the word and just come to Jesus. I said, hold it. You're wrong. The trouble is they have left the word. See, that's the church. That's not the bride. All right, we're going to go back to 146 on page 21. This young fellow had done the same thing. In other words, he was listening to his organization. He was listening to what his priest said. When he was confronted by God, him believing in one God, knowing the ancient scriptures, but now that he was confronted not with organization, Brother Branham says, but he was confronted with God, whom organization said they represented and were in God's pocket, being that through which you must come in order to worship and serve God, he turned down God for the organizations. That's the same as people right today are receiving gifts instead of the Holy Ghost. They're turning down the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is without sensation, but piling word upon word upon word until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a true baptism, and that word has fully taken over, some this measure, some in that measure, but one day there's going to be a full measure when the Holy Spirit takes over completely and changes every corpuscle and atom in our bodies. Don't you worry. And just before that, you're going to find those 10 people all in one place Brother Branham spoke of, when they have that one thought of one accord, which means the true revelation has really come into the bride. Fully and perfectly, there is going to be a rapture. Now he says here, this young fellow had done the same thing. Moses wrote those commandments, but you see, the same God that wrote the commandment by his prophets was the same one that prophesied the day would come. I'll raise up a prophet like unto me. It'll come to pass that all those that don't hear him be cut off, and that's irrevocably in the scripture, according to that little translation. Now notice, back in the denominational shuck and tassels, that's your Lutheran age, your Wesleyan age, and your Pentecostal age, all in there, and he's quoting from Acts the 3rd chapter 19 and 20 and 21 about to 22. We read that the other day. They must go on to life. In other words, what people don't understand, and it is difficult to understand, but all you got to do is let your thinking go, and that's all I've got to do, is to understand that Brother Branham was telling us that there were carriers of this life, even as Paul said in Ephesians, which come through a ministry and must one day be perfect in order for the head to come upon it, because he will not come upon the imperfect. Not just the concluding, but the polished unto a perfect finish. We're adding a scratch, yeah, or taking out by a scratch is no longer perfect. In other words, you see the point. You can neither add nor take a word. And as Brother Branham said, that is not just per se taking one word and fooling with it. It's literally changing the truth. Because I can take a double negative and bring it to a positive. Not just in algebra. You can do that in English. In your, you know, it's not good grammar, but it'll be all right. Now, they must go on to life. Now, hold that thought in mind. They must go on to life. And today, don't say I'm Pentecost. I belong to this, I belong to that. Now, that's interpolated. So let me go over this again. I'll raise up a prophet like an unto me. It'll come to pass that all that don't hear him will be cut off. back in the denomination of Shuckin, Castle, and Pentecostal, and so on. They must go on to life. You've got to accept the person of Christ, eternal life. These people don't know there's a cutoff. Lutheran said, we're it. And out of all that came out of Lutherans, we're it. Then came Wesley, we're it. And all that came out of them. And they didn't realize that everyone came out of Rome. So they had the seeds of death in them. The Pentecostals came. We're it. This is it. We got it. The seed of death is in Pentecost. How do we know? Because there was no vindication, and Paul was vindicated. And he said, it's already got the seeds of death in it. He said, you're already a prostitute. Now, if you're a prostitute spiritually, and you come all down through the ages from the Roman Catholic Church, the Dark Ages, where life is coming back into the church, and yet death is increasing apace because you and your daughters are going to go to the lake of fire and second death, which they are, and now they're caught in fornication, which is really adultery, because she's espoused to her husband, and she's unfaithful, just as though they had come together. All right. Bring it down to this age. Adultery, adultery, adultery. Death, death, death. That's why you got AIDS. That's why. Don't go looking around the fact of people committing adultery. That's just the outward thing. That's what they did back in the garden. You get off this word, you will go to adultery. All kinds of corruption. You'll be perfectly healthy and have HIV too. But those little kids in the London hospital, the Lancet says, they must have got it through some instruments in the hospital. What if they didn't? What is visiting the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation? Oh, that's science looking their test tubes. I'm looking in my Bible. I got no problem. So I'll look in my Bible. Why did you find God saying destroy utterly the Canaanite, the bunch of homosexuals? Oh, you mustn't say that. You're a terrible person. I'm just saying what the Bible said. Go take God and hit him with a big club if you want. In the meantime, I'll happily smile and thank him for his word in Revelation. Because I know where all this stuff is coming from, and so do you. Now listen, don't say I'm Pentecostal. Forget it. You've got to go to light. And remember, the only way to get ready to be bride is not say what they're saying, but say what the prophet says. Now, didn't I read that the other day? Huh? How many remember? Well, don't forget it. He said, how'd you get ready? Don't say this kind of stuff. Don't say, bless God, I spoke with tongues, I got happy, I shouted, I said amen to the preacher. You can say amen if you want. I'm going to throw you out of here. But I tell you, you better know what you're saying amen to, because I'm pretty tricky. On more than one occasion, I've told people, just watch it. You might not know what you're saying amen to. I don't mean I'm devious and tricky. I mean, I'm so far from denominational untruth with the truth that you got to get your mind thoroughly repentant. And theology, as far as the seven isms and so on, ologies and all that stuff, forget it. You might not even know what the word eschatology means, but I can tell you right now, you know more about the future from Brother Branham than any theologian outside of those who studied under him, if indeed there be theologians. They must go to light. You've got to accept the person Christ. eternal light. Eternal light, Christ, Elohim, Almighty God, whose Holy Spirit confronts every one of us, don't forget it. Now jump the next paragraph. Now that life, Rhema, Logos, Holy Spirit, God, in a pillar of fire, Jehovah Elohim, is present tonight. That's right, the Holy Spirit. Now watch, the Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form, His Spirit, the anointing is here. He's telling you, the Lamb is not here. Who was in the Lamb is here. Who was in the Lamb? God. Who was the rock that followed Israel? Elohim. Who was the cloud by day and the fire by night? Elohim. Look in your Bibles. Go to your Old Testament. What you're looking at here in the Word, as I've said before, is Christ, which is Christos, which is the Greek, which merely is the same word Mashiach, which is Messiah. God always was the Messiah. Well, I choose to believe Jesus was. Well, I choose to believe you're wrong. It was God in Christ that made Him the manifested evidence and the purveyor of the messianic deliverance. Didn't He say, my words are His words, my deeds are His deeds? And what are you looking at? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Yet He said, no man can see God and live. Brother Branham put the truth to this generation. He said, God, when God sent Moses down to Israel, He went with him. And He not only appeared in signs and wonders and miracles, but He Himself appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today, and we have His picture, and there it is. That's just one of them. Just one of them. What's so hard about that? What do you mean? He has seen me, seen the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, that makes him run and take cover, doesn't it? Huh? But you see, when they come against us, rather when the powerful wind of the Holy Ghost brought that one to us, we said, hallelujah, I like that. The rest of them ran for cover, and they took the little ripple effect of the one. Well, he really didn't mean what he said, you know. Like one guy wants to be a real mouthpiece for Brother Branham, and you ask him, was Brother Branham God to the people? Well, the Bible says he was as God to the people. As God to the people. As God to the people. I want to ask you a question. Which is the stronger? As God to the people or God to the people? Now, you majored in English and what have you, haven't you? I know you're ducking because you're an engineer. You can't duck this morning. So you're an educated person, Brother Evans. We've got a lot of degrees here. We got what? We got four in that corner. Tell me, which is the stronger, as God or God to the people? God to the people, right. Because if you just as God, you might, you know. Now, those sweet little homework. You know I don't have any time for some stuff. He's either God to the people or He is not God to the people. I don't think I want to leave this part of redo. I keep going over. All right, now he says, we are confronted with God Himself at this hour. There's our leader. And the question is, how come, if that's so, we don't know it? Yeah. How come? Now let me go over it again. All right? This fella turned down, this young fella, turned down God Himself in the form of human flesh. You know something? That was no different than turning down the pillar of fire at night to the cloud by day. That was no different than turning down the manna that fell. are no different. I've said it irreverently. If God chose to use a brass doorknob, that's His business. You better respect that brass doorknob. That's God to you. You better know it. So there was God in human flesh according to the very prophet that they said they believed. A prophet like unto me. And Moses confronted God because he was not like other prophets who had dreams and visions, but God appeared to him apparently, visibly. Now, that visible God manifested himself to John as he indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ, that human body, and we call him Lord Jesus Christ the man, Son of God. Now, Jesus absolutely, fully identified and authenticated, stood like Moses. This boy should have known that. The priests knew it. Sure, they knew it. But they couldn't receive it at that time under those conditions, because though they knew Messiah was coming, they misunderstood how he would come and to what intent and purpose. And they chose their own understanding above vindication. And here's this young man. And here it is right today. This, without a doubt, is Matthew 12. We've read it time and time and time and time again. And this is another time we're going to read it again. Thank you, Brother Dale, for being so precise and helping us to remember, right? Repetition. So, Jesus withdrew himself. Charged they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled for him by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold my servant, who I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he'll show judgment to the Gentiles. Now listen, they were forbidden to make him known because it would have a deleterious effect or some bad effect or something God didn't want when it came to this portion of Scripture, referring to the Gentiles. This is part of the seventh seal. Close it. Stop it. Huh? Oh, come on. If it isn't, I'll eat it. This is your great mystery that Brother Branham put under Matthew 4. And Matthew 4 is fine, because Matthew 4 says the same thing, but not like this says it. See? It might be, you know, he went there, then leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he was outside the bounds of Israel, evidently. He was there. But don't tell the Gentiles. Don't let them know this is the one that's coming to them too. Yeah. Oh, they say, Brother Dale, that happened when Paul brought him. That did not happen when Paul brought him. See? Just part of it happened when Paul brought him. Watch what happens here when Paul doesn't bring him. Behold, my servant, I chose my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon, and he'll show judgment to the Gentiles. Now watch, he shall not strive, but he sure did. He shall not cry, but he sure did. A man shall not hear his voice in the street. Hogwash. Read John 7:37, 39, you'll find different. But watch the difference. A bruised reed, he'll not break. The smoking flax, he will not quench. Don't destroy the oil and wine. Don't destroy a little bit of life. Just let it keep burning. Let it keep smudging. Let it keep going. Because he is going to breathe upon it. And the flame is going to come back. And there'll be no more ripples. There's going to be a bride standing there. And he's going to, what? Send forth judgment unto victory. To Gentile bride, not defeat. Now I'm preaching you the Bible. I challenge you. Pick up any treatise on Scripture. Go to the second-hand store. Search the libraries of the world. I challenge you. You won't find what I'm saying in there.
Because this is under the seals. This is the end time revelation. When he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit to bind up. He rejected Israel. But he's making sure we're going in. Now you can scream hallelujah and amen. I don't have to pull it out of you. I know you're listening. And another thing, you don't say amen to me anyway, because I don't know if you believe what I'm saying. I don't even know if you get what I'm saying. Put it down in here. Listen, whatever comes in here, go down here and here and think about it. See if it comes together. Don't amen me. You amen your whatever you believe to be the truth. Now, he said, watch what he puts in here. The little interpolation, 147. There are leaders, you see, that have such a hold on men, that young man. Well, we belong to this and we belong to that. Hey, you're not going to let these lovely people down that brought you to the Lord, are you? That put these churches up here and did all of these things. And my, without them, where would you be? Now, you just can't leave us. Well, you're looking at a renegade. I never did have much problem with leaving. What a fatal thing to reject the leadership of eternal light. Now, let's face it. Eternal life of itself outside of a person could not be leadership. Right? Certainly that's right. And outside of a person who can give leadership according to the explicit, which always must be in words, fully understood, perceived, to be acted upon, or to be cherished and understood as doctrine. How could you possibly have it? So therefore, if we are going to be under the leadership of eternal life, which God alone having eternal life, then he must speak the words of eternal life. And the words that he speak are spirit and life. See, it all comes together. All right. Let's just stop here as usual. Now, the word person, of course, comes from two words which are French and Latin. I don't know whether Latin came from the French or French. I imagine the French came from the Latin. It's person and persona. Now, literally, it means a face mask used by actors and hence a character, a person. So what we're looking at here, and Brother Branham talks about a person, and Brother Branham was the one that originated the term role. And a role always has a character. Something to bring forth something in such a way that you can perceive. So, all right. This word person means actually character, and a role is involved. It also means a human being, especially as distinguished from all lower forms of life. And the word person goes on to the word impersonate. You'll find that in your dictionary. It just goes on to it. It means to represent in the form of a person, to personify, embody, as he personifies or impersonates, rather, the spirit of the people to act the part of, take the character of. Well, let's just talk about this then and go back 2,000 years at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon earth here, the Father indwelling the Son. This is my beloved Son, and I the Father am pleased to dwell in him. Now, neither the Father nor the Son were impersonating each other or someone or something else as to their individuality and separateness. In other words, the Father was the Father and the Son was the Son. We're talking of individuals. Now, let's go to the point where one is revealing the other. The Son is now revealing the Father insofar as the works manifested completely prove that the works are of God because man cannot do them. And the works prove that the words have to be of God, because the works are only there to prove that it's the Word of God. So now we have the Son in His own person, playing the role of God, the Father to the people. And the Father is definitely in Him in His own complete personality and substance and everything else, in His own Godhood. Almighty God. Before there was one atom, one speck of stardust, one breath of wind, one nothing. This one has come on down His plans right to the place where He's indwelling this Son. You see? Now, yet the Father indwelt the Son, and yet they had a separateness. And though the two roles were there simultaneously, as were the two persons, they still were not one, like my fingers one. There is a oneness that you and I can apprehend by Scripture, which simply says, He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit being. Now you look at me, you certainly can't see God. Except I declare to you, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, can prove it by believing the word of the hour. And if you don't believe as I believe, you can say, well, you're not full of the Holy Ghost, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And we both got to wait and find out who's got the Holy Ghost. No problem. That's why the foundation of God stands sure. And this seal, the Lord knows them which are His. Not I'm this click and I'm that click, I follow this guy, follow you. You follow me, then you're in trouble. Now, the Son was a physical body and manifested Himself, but the Father also manifested Himself through the Son. They say, hey, just a minute now, we got this, this is really bad. We got dual personalities here. Nope. Don't you know the Father actually spoke through the mouth of Jesus? True. Thy words were all together in my tongue. You moved my tongue and I heard myself talk. Oh, you talk about a dilly. How many heard that tape where that strange kind of voice speaks through Brother Branham on the tape and says, this is not Brother Branham speaking, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many heard that? Let's get that tape and play it. Find the place and play it so everybody hears it. Oh, horrors, horrors. Oh, that proves, Brother Branham, you're of the devil when you said that. Yeah, yeah, because God doesn't do things like that. Who said? Who said? Stupid organization. God doesn't have much use for big mouths. He gave us brains, and He gave us a mouth. But there's two things I know that God hates about mouth and brains. Number one, the mouth that goes into gear without the brain being in gear, and the brain being in a wrong gear, and then puts the mouth in gear. I don't know which is worse. I told you I was going to read John 14, so I'm going to read John 14. And in John 14, it categorically says, believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me at the very work's sake. See? Now He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, there's some special person going to believe, and he'll do the very same works that Jesus is doing by God Himself. And they'll be greater than what came forth at that particular ministry. Now I know right there that's just a minute. John said, all the libraries in the world could not contain the books of the things Jesus did. So don't let anybody tell me anything about William Branham having greater works. If the whole church in all the ages and all that sort of stuff, that's what it is. Well, that ain't what it is, because it says he. It didn't say it or she as it would in the church. It says he. Now, Jesus always pointed everyone to God who was His Father, yet He could not and did not neglect to point out His own role. Right? Right. That's paragraph 148. Now that life is present tonight. That's right. That same life that was back there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, The Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form. His spirit is here now. So again, we have a duality. We have a prophet in whom this spirit is, which is Almighty God, giving him the works which everybody knows has to be of God, vindicating the man is of God, pointing to the words which that people have to get them ready. Or they're not going to get out of here, because it's just like John the Baptist. Okay. So, all right. Brother Branham spoke of roles. And there are two roles in this person. But you will notice the role of the Son in death. And the shedding of his blood could not take place until God left him. Now remember, Jesus had his own role. The Son learned obedience by the things that he suffered. The Son was born. He was circumcised. He grew in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The grace of God, rather. In favor, he grew in the stature and favor of God and man. That's what he did. All right. The same one at the wedding of Cana listened to his mother. Now, he didn't have to listen. He was permitted to listen. They got problems. He said, I don't need you to tell me about the problem. What have I got to do with you? So now he got married telling Jesus, why don't you do something for these people? Oh, that's great. Even the Catholic virgin has twisted that of wedding at Cana. They have Jesus literally obeying Mary. So now after all hundreds of years of tradition, they got it figured out. We'll just talk to Mary, and Mary will talk to him. So they start talking to Mary, and they get a female devil answering back. No problem. Only the thing is, it's a male devil. Actually, they're sexless. But they're like Satan. That's a male. So where are they today? All right. One, the person the ruler rejected, as seen in John 14, and made manifest by himself. God proved who it was. Today, the person, as seen in Matthew 12, I read it, and Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 4:16, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, which is all Revelation 10:1-7, God, his own prophet, with a man of his choosing, also called a prophet. And William Branham had his role, and God had his role, and they're absolutely individual and separate, and yet one met within the other. Now notice, in number one person, it is the Father in the Son, as in Hebrews 1, and it tells you God in Son. Number two, it is the Holy Spirit, Jehovah Elohim, in and through the prophet. And though the work in John 14 and Matthew 12 are identical, and by the Father, we now have ourselves confronted with John 14, 10 and 11, the Father in that Son back there doing the work, saying the words. Now, we find 14 and 12 identical, verse 14 and 12, the very works he's doing, identical to 11, the Father in me doing the works and doing the speaking. The Word, or as Brother Branham says, Christ the Word, or as Jesus would phrase it today, and since he is not here, now we're talking about the one on the throne now, Brother Branham phrases it, Messiah of the Word, or described in the Word, or the Word Messiah, the one fulfilling the Word. If the Word is being fulfilled, and it is, then it has to be God Almighty doing it, and you can call it Christ because that's the anointing. Messiah is doing it. Now, there is no way that you can prove that works being done have to distinctly be in this mode unless there's a word for it, and that word is Deuteronomy 18 in contradistinction to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and embellished in Matthew chapter 24 based upon Matthew chapter 7 and right on down the line as found in the book of Acts, the second chapter where Peter is talking about the end time just before the great tribulation when anybody and everybody can be anointed 1,000 times a day by the Holy Ghost, thinking they've got the baptism, speaking in tongues, raising the dead and everything else, and yet they are of the devil. False anointed, just like Judas. And this brings us right to the Antichrist, which is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, you see, I could stand here like Brother Gregor and preach a whole sermon just on those. Put it together yourselves. You've been hearing me preach for 10 solid years. If you don't know the scriptures today, I bet your kids can tell. I bet I got twins sitting here, tell you. Huh? Now, these girls, they're sharp. Even Joanna will tell me. See, kids, listen, they're sponges. And you know, that's the best sponge in the world we have in our right in our people today. And you know, the time comes when the squeeze come on, they're going to just bring forth pure word and pure honey. Get in that rapture, bless God. Take off with the Holy Spirit. Now, if it is proven to be the Word, then it has to be the Spirit of Christ. It's got to be the anointing, got to be a God. For how do you get it otherwise? There isn't any way to get it. Of course, people don't believe that. They think Lee Dale's got a devil, but he's got the words very strange. Therefore, as Brother Branham says, the Word, or or the Christ, who is the doctrine, the truth of the God of the truth, and God is the truth, is here. That Word, in other words, the embodiment, that Word now in a human body brought forth through God Himself, and we have a prophet. That's the leader that Brother Branham was referring to. Look, he said, the manifestation proves it's of God, period. Now, speaking in tongues and prophesying, that's of God too, no problem. Those things are God. They can be gifts entirely out of order. But when you're talking of what is truly God, you're talking of thus saith the Lord, and what follows premised upon that. Then that which comes forth is the Word of Almighty God. These people did not have it. So, all right. Now, to receive, first of all, that Word is the leader to us, because our leader is here making it live. The living Word of God is being made to live by God Himself. And that's proven all the way by Scripture, and you cannot gainsay it except to your destruction. Now, to receive that proves you are seed, S-E-E-D, and now can be filled to the full measure of the Holy Spirit. Contrary is Antichrist and the seed of the Antichrist. Now, let's just look at something here. Brother Branham is talking here in paragraph 146, and he said, you've got to accept the person Christ. You've got to accept that which is eternal life. Now, you must accept that person eternal life. We see then from what Brother Branham was teaching, and I've gone over it already, that what has gone through these ages that Brother Branham has finally been the last messenger, the prophet, Revelation 10 and 7, we have seen a progression, is what we have seen. There is a progression to accepting that person. Justification gave way to sanctification, sanctification of baptism, and gifts to the Holy Spirit Himself. And now let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Because that's the chapter of the New Jerusalem, but I'm not going to use that particular portion. Now, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a confidence, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that need to be set, which is unbelief. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now remember, Jesus is Jehovah's Savior. He's also this one that came in His Father's name, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Now look at it. You're looking at the fact that Jesus, this one, that is the complete embodiment of what Brother Branham said, Eve should have borne this seed. And he would have gone through all the testings and all the trials to set before mankind, and he would come forth 100% victorious as he came forth in this particular scripture that is set forth here. Now, she didn't have that seed, she gave way. And you know as well as I do, the seed must bring forth what lies within it. And what lay within the promise of eternal life and completely governing the world for Almighty God was only performed in Jesus the Christ. And he doing it brings us into that relationship, his relationship of him being seed, so that we also share in that glory, we also being seed. Now, I hope you understand, because that's what Brother Branham brought out in spoken words, original seed, you can't get away with. Now, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. The word author, of course, and finisher, the word author means leader. Now, let's look at this thing. We're at the end time. How can this one be our leader? The way he was the leader back there. God did it. There's never been a change. You're going to talk about Jesus suffering. That's great, he suffered. You're going to talk about him bypassing temptation. That's great, he did it. And you can understand his human body was just as tempted physically, sexually, in every other way as anybody else's. There had been ice cream in his day, and he shouldn't have had ice cream. He no doubt wanted to lick a cup full of it. Didn't bend to it. You're looking at a man possessed by God. You're looking at a person here who is the true leader and originator, taking us on to perfection. Now, he lived the life which was perfect and blameless. He shed his blood, which perfects the bride. We're looking to him. And we're seeing everything that God did through him, and in him, and by him. And it's ours. Now, let's get the picture. He is that perfecter. In other words, he sits there, and instead of us, God at this time can come down and give us the same laudatory exemption that he gave Jesus. In him there's no sin. He says to the same bride, now listen, in you there is no sin. You're the perfect, righteous bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. Now, where is he? On the throne. See, you're looking today at our elder brother. We're looking at him in every aspect of God in life. That's the family of God. And we're seeing here that he is the author and the finisher. And notice what it says. He sat down at the right hand of God. That's been changed. He's on the throne of God. Waiting for us. That's why Brother Branham could said when he died, I was there paying for my sins on Calvary. When he rose, I rose with him. And the truth is, when he climbed on his Father's throne, and we had to climb on with him. Hey, don't you understand? I'm not talking of you in your mixed up body, soul, and spirit. I'm talking of you. You! Of whom Brother Branham says, my eyes, my nose, my ears. Who's me? Your ears, your nose, your eyes, your hair, your this. Who's you? You! We're in your Father's loins. You! We're a gene of God, a part of God. We're talking about you. And when God said, I've begotten all my generations in you, the author and finisher of our faith, we can see every single thing bound up in him, and that's where it is. And he's the perfect revealer and manifester of Almighty God in flesh. The entire price has been paid. We're now in the clear. And as I say, if we rose with him, a part of him, in heavenly places with him, the full identification goes to the throne. How can he miss what he was preempted for, foreknown, elected, predestinated? How can we miss what we were in like manner preempted for, foreknown, elected, predestinated? And even as the scripture said concerning this rough journey on earth, as an Adam all die in identical manner, everyone will come alive in Christ in their own order. Now you talk about predestination, you're looking at it here, and they turned down predestinate flat as a fritter. And remember, Brother Branham started with predestination. So are they going to look to that leader? No! Why? They got their own leader. They've got their own God. And they got him out of here with the twist. With the ripple effect of the breeze blowing and the cunning interlopers. They've sat with us. And they'll continue. Who knows who's who? Now my coffee spoils my preaching. You can't take it. Go on home now. I've had a bad throat from preaching. I'm 80 years of age. What do you got to show for yours? The reason I said that is because, you see, they mock around. One day they may do worse than that. One day they may do far worse than that. I've got no problem with that. That's their problem. Now, that life is present tonight. No, it's present this morning. At 12:25 on the dot, according to that clock. Well, maybe 12:24, it doesn't much matter. That's right. The Holy Spirit is here. Brother Branham said he was. The pillar of fire to lead us to the millennium. But before then, there must be that word. As there was a word that fitted Israel to go into the promised land, we also have got to have that word fitting us to win the promised land. Now there's your perfect type and your perfect everything. All right. Well, another thought here is eternal life, is immortality, which actually the word Zoe has to do with all life. There's going to be a perfect restoration and glorification for every single thing that God has done for us, starting with us, because that's where the bad thing came, that's where the good thing's got to start. So here we're looking at it. And we're soon going into immortality and into the rapture with those who are resurrected. Now that's as far as we're going to go because our time's run out. I'll try to work this into a... We're into a position now where we can move on. Go to the next page, which we've been a long time. But you see, when you cover certain portions, which are so tremendously important, to keep looking at and viewing and bringing our attention until it begins to glow and becomes real within us and we understand, becoming life to us, the food in due season. There are other parts that may not be so important. Why? Because we already got by them. We've made our choices, our decisions. We're in the main flow, but we look at them. Because this is the last message Brother Branham preached, and who knows what we preach today and other days may go into the hands of somebody who could benefit thereby. Well, the Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the time you gave us together of looking at your word, Lord, and further examining it to the extent we believe that by the influence of your own spirit, our lives are being changed because our minds are having ripped away from them the layers and layers of unbelief of creeds and dogmas and tenets and things of men, which are not only not edifying, but they're absolutely detrimental and life-defying, leading to fatality. As Brother Branham said, that wrong decision led to fatality. It led to Israel's fatality, the turning away. And so, Father, we pray that as we look to you, you, Elohim, Jehovah, in our midst today, the great Rima Logos God, we are happy to know that you brought yourself down to our level again, whereby we may be raised to the level, your level, which you have desired for us within yourself. And we appreciate that, knowing we're going from grace to grace and light to light until it's the fullness of light, walking in the light, as John said. Lord, let it be the blood cleansing this morning upon every one of us, and the stripes of Jesus healing amongst us. God himself showing us the peace that you have toward us and we toward you, and the joy and the power of the resurrection in our midst. As Brother Branham said, we are Easter. Let these things, Lord, pervade our thoughts and our minds. Oh God, let it be that we don't turn to the mundane, foolish things of this world that could usurp our time, which they certainly do, and it's pitiful to just get more and more wrapped up in the living Word of God until we live as we've never lived before, going on to meet you in the air incarnate, knowing we met you already here, as it were, in the backside of the desert, Lord. Gone without the camp to be with you, or marching through the desert, knowing there's wells of water, table spread with manna, the fire by night to keep us warm, the cloud by day to keep us cool. We're marching on to Zion, right even past the great millennium, further place of sanctification, opportunity setting aside more and more for you. Lord, these things thrill our hearts to know that it's the truth because it's been vindicated. Unto thee we give the honor and the glory and great praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.